Hey, I'm Pauline, and this is a Journey to Fulfillment podcast. Learn from awesome people who have gone through personal transformations so you can be inspired to grow, create, and live a truly fulfilling life. Hello, everyone. I've got a special guest on my show today. His name is Jimmy Clare. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, awesome to have you on. So, Jimmy, please introduce yourself and what do you do?
I'm an autism advocate, author, founder of CrazyFitnessGuide.com.
Yeah, awesome. So that's a really interesting background you've got. Tell us more about, I guess, like your journey with all of that, because I could imagine that it would have its own types of struggles and transformations itself. So yeah, where did it all start with you?
Well, that would be an understatement because I had so many struggles from the time I was born. Well, one instance where I wasn't meeting my milestones when I was growing up, I wasn't talking at a certain age. And so basically I pointed at everything and I called it ba, like a sheep. And I don't know why I didn't speak early on. But I knew I wanted to, but I just didn't know how to. And luckily, I was smart enough to know what I wanted. And my parents just saw where I was pointing to. And I was like, wow, I was a pretty smart baby. Though I think the doctors didn't think so at the time. It was like, you have to be concerned and whatnot. And like, I think I'm pretty good, but okay. And I don't really remember what the doctor said back then to my parents about that. But I remember my parents were being worried and whatnot. And my mom, I like this story that she told me and it stuck in my head because I like it so much. And he told my mom's friend's husband was getting chemotherapy when my mom's friend was working. And so she helped out by bringing her husband to his chemo treatments. And he said to my mom one day, "Don't worry about Jimmy not speaking, because later on, he will never shut up in life." And since that day, I have never shut up since. And I mean, maybe not that particular day, but years later, I still haven't shut up. And I liked it because I was like, he's right on. And it's like, I never stop talking. And it drives my parents nuts.
Yeah. So what was it like in yourself? Did you like notice yourself, or was there something inside that just like triggered this change in terms of starting like to talk and then, you know, really just taking it like in full force?
Well, it was basically my parents got me into a different kind of speech therapies to get me to start talking. And I forget what it all entails, but I had occupational therapy to get me to walk. But to fast forward a little bit, but then I had other doctors who told my parents I wouldn't be able to read higher than a second grade level. I would always need help growing up, and I'm going to probably be living with my parents until the day that they die, etc. Well, I'm currently in college, and I read at a college level. Reading is actually one of my strong suits. And because one of my, and I know I'm jumping all over the place, but it all makes sense of eventually. But basically, I just got a long list of can'ts and since the day I was born. And it just felt like, well, gee, you guys handing me like kind of a list that I might as well just give up on the world already. I was like, just because you can't do this, basically your life is going to be a complete train wreck. Thanks. I might as well just give up on life. By their standards, I probably shouldn't even have a life, to be honest. But I basically had to fight for everything, every challenge since then. And I never looked back. I mean, now I'm looking back, but I mean, I just kept on going through one hurdle over another hurdle after another hurdle. And it is a true underdog story, because a lot of people think that autism is like, when you think of autism, they always think it's black and white, you know, and it's like, here's a list of things you can't do. You're not going to be able to do them. Nice knowing you. And I'm like, just because I'm autistic doesn't mean I can't do certain, can't do anything. I was like, by this standards, I should have just given up on everything.
So there may be a lot of people out there who have experienced or are going through the same thing as what you've experienced growing up with all the carts and everything. To get a bit more understanding for the people who may be unaware, why is it that this particular condition, are there differing degrees of it? Or like, because you mentioned maybe like we all might have tendencies like or spots where maybe we can't read as good as other people or we can't walk or run as good as other people. So there's different levels of that, but what would classify as someone who is autistic? How would you know?
Well, there's people who, there's trained doctor who can test you to see where you fall on the spectrum. Back then, the spectrum was like new to everyone, and so they didn't know how big that it would go. But now, basically, so many things fall onto the spectrum. You can literally be, they use the terms like high end of the spectrum, low end of the spectrum. But I never liked those terms because it's like, well, what's considered high and what's considered low? And it's like, does anybody have a picture of the spectrum? Does and it's like, how long is the spectrum? I was like, because if it's like a color chart or something, it's like there's no visual. So it's like, well, do I fall up here? Do I fall down here? I'm like, I don't know. And then some of it can kind of be opposites. It's like some people say higher end of the spectrum is the bad part. And then some other people say, no, the lower end of the spectrum is bad part. And I'm like,
Yeah, that's
okay. And it's like, we
very,
have
very
all this
gray.
research, but
Yeah.
no one can tell me which one is the, I was like, this, and it seems like we fork all this money over to the autism research. And there's still a lot of stuff that we don't know. I mean, I don't know all the science behind it because I'm not a scientist, but I know what works for me. I don't know. It doesn't work for everyone. That my stuff might not work for everyone. I know what works for me. I know what helps me. And I can only point people in the right direction. I'm not an expert by any means of autism, but I live with it every single day. So technically, I am sort of an expert, but
What
not with
was
the
your,
data driven.
yeah, no, that's fine. But what was your understanding of, I guess, the things that, I mean, because you were able to break through all, like a lot of different barriers and challenges. So that could even mean that, you know, maybe you're not even on the spectrum potentially. But like having to grow up and being told that, no, like these are the things you can't do and these are the areas that, you know, you won't be able to develop and all of these things. How did you go about, I guess, taking whatever like the labels were or the things that were said to you and being able to shift into like transforming yourself into like breaking these barriers and doing all the things that people told you that, you know, you potentially couldn't do?
Well, how I did that was I had a lot of support from my family and friends and a lot of teachers. For instance, one of my teachers in 7th grade, I was getting bullied a lot. And it first started in elementary school, but then it got a lot worse in middle school into high school. But before I get into that story, my teacher, my school basically, one of the things that they did with special education, and I have heard around lately, I don't remember where I read it from, but they said, like, someone told me that they made special education, they basically kind of dumbed it down for everyone in class. And I think it's kind of wrong because they only have like one or two special educations in some school districts. And if you're lucky, you can get a teacher like my 7th grade teacher at the time where she can teach at everyone's level. So what worked for me, she knew what worked for me and how to communicate with me. And it's like, oh, okay, here's how you do this. And it's like, oh, okay, because she showed me, I know how to do this. But somebody down next to me in the classroom or the other side of the classroom or whatever, they might learn better, learning more along reading or problem solving on a piece of paper where I need an actual visual. And because it's like, if I don't have a visual, it's like, well, how did you get that? Because I can't just do math on a piece of paper. I was like, can you give me some kind of visual? Like, oh, Sometimes they used like the play money. They I was like, oh, if you lost a dollar, how many do you have? Or and I thought I was like, oh, this works for me because I'm more a visual learner. And I appreciated her because, and I still stay in contact with her because she used to be my tutor in college too. But one of the things, but she kept on pushing me to do more than just the bare minimum. And like, so if the school assigns us a reading assignment, she told me to, I mean, like, she didn't tell me to, but I remember before I could start reading some of these harder books. I mean, like, Harry Potter was not on the reading list for people on in the special education classes. And my mom used to read me the first book, and she was reading to me like when I was younger. But of course, later on, I found out she never liked the Harry Potter books. And it's like, and how come I still let you exist in the house? And it's like, Dad should have banned you a long time ago. It's just a family joke, but but I was like, how dare you? And it's like, I watch Harry Potter every single time it comes on TV. But one of the things she says, like my teachers told me, like she encouraged me to try harder things. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to try reading the Harry Potter books. So even when I didn't know an answer, I mean, didn't know what a word meant, I Googled it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I remember the word for next time. I was like, yep, there's that word again. And so I remember throughout 7th grade, I was reading Harry Potter books. And because the bullying got so worse throughout the middle school, my teacher let me, if I didn't have a friend to sit next to at lunch, Sheila would let me leave lunch early to come into her classroom. As in special education, she was my math teacher, science teacher, and I think English teacher, wasn't history. I had history or someone else, but I'm sure she was too, but I kind of forget. But she told me to come into her room, and if she has a group of teachers eating lunch with her, just read a book. And so I got so hooked into the Harry Potter books. There was one time where the bell rang, was ready for class, and it's like, Jimmy, put your book away. And she had to laugh too because, like, I never thought I would say that to a student before. And I was like, I'm kind of confused, teacher. I'm like, am I supposed to? And it's like, first you tell me to read, now you tell me to put my book away. Okay. I was like, this is new for both of us. I was like, wish you just put your phone away.
So you pretty much got very consumed in the world of Harry Potter.
So basically she just pushed me to do better than the bare minimum. And because she knows that I didn't like school, I didn't want anything to do with school, but she's like, prove those people who are in the administration buildings, like, you're smarter and you can work harder, you know what you need, what is like, challenge yourself and go the extra mile. And it's like, okay, if you can go the extra mile with me, I can go the extra mile. And so she kind of just pushed me to be better and to want more, and just said of, yeah, I'm just gonna need a poor old help me.
So it's super important to continually have support around you in order to, I guess, continually break through and evolve yourself as well.
I had to give my parents all the credit as well too, because they could have just said, it's like, oh, we don't have the money, we don't have the time for Jimmy or anything, we're just gonna let him be, as I wouldn't be anywhere without them. I would be who knows where, probably not be running a business.
It takes a lot of strength and, I guess, tenacity and determination for you to continually push through and, evolve the way that you have. Talk us through the next journey. So when school finished or like the next part of your life where you have been able to now run a business and, become an author and all of these things. How did that all come about? Talk us through that phase for you.
After like 3 years of taking off from high school because I just didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, I was an Uber driver for a few. Actually, I was an Uber driver when I was in college. So I was working at the Shore, working at Tony Luke's, which is a cheesesteak place down at the shore, well, when it existed. And I kind of liked it the first year, but I didn't like it the second year because when I was trying different things, I first tried working for my parents just to do odd chores around the house. And some of the chores that they made me do was very brutal. My mom, the grout in the bathroom for the tiles.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she made me get on my hands and knees and scrub with a toothbrush and say, "This sounds like a hell in prison."
I've done that before.
Like, and I was like, I'm never having a grout in my bathroom floor. I was like, note to self, I'm never doing this ever again. I was like, I'm going to find a machine to do it. And I'm not being lazy, but like my knees were dead afterwards. And it's like, ow. I was like, this sucks.
Painful. Yeah.
I was like, this is punishment. Obviously, it wasn't because I was getting paid, but I was like, and this was just because I was didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I did a few odd jobs for them. And I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I got a job at Tony Luke's. I was a dishwasher for the first year. And then I said, like, I would like to try to cook. And Tony Luke's, well, obviously it's the restaurant. And I was got friendly with some of the chefs and say, hey, can you teach me? And I say, yeah, sure. And I'll offer hours, but first you have to ask the boss first. And my boss said, like, oh yeah, I get you some teaching skills, but first I have to get another dishwasher replacement. Well, he'd been saying that all year, the second year. And when he finally did, the guy quit and eventually put me back in the dishwashing again. And he just kept me there and say, you're a freaking prick. And I never said that to the guy, but in the back of my mind, I'm just clarifying for the people because it was like, I'm not a hothead. I don't say that out loud. Years ago when I didn't have a filter, I would, but that was when I was a kid and I didn't have one filter whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I told, and so basically I left after that job and it was like around 2015, the summer 2015, and I decided I'm going to go enroll into college myself. And my parents are like, are you sure this is what you want to do? And it's like, well, I tried many different jobs so far. I hated them all.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like college is the only route to go. There's anyone could get a job if they get a trade, etc. But I didn't want to go that route because I said to myself after high school, I was never going to go to college. And I was like, I'm up for the challenge. I'm going to prove myself wrong. And it was like, because I proved everyone else wrong, now I had to prove myself wrong.
Yeah, so that's about you.
And I mean, like,
did
I improved.
You know what
and,
you
but,
wanted to do? Like, in college, did you have to pick something?
Yeah, I was going to personal training, but math and science was not my, let's just say, strengths at all.
Mm.
I mean, I know the basic maths, but I mean, I'm not as comfortable with multiplication and division in my head or on a piece of paper. I need a calculator for that. But I'm good at adding and subtracting. I know some multiplication, some division. But if you ask me like math problems off the top of my head, like double digit numbers, I probably wouldn't be able to do it because yeah. I was like, I need a calculator. I can't do it in my head.
Well, that's why we have tools these days.
Exactly.
So it's about knowing how to like use it to your advantage.
Yeah. And so math was never my strength at all. And so in college, I pretty much got kind of for R in my personal training degree. But then I got this one teacher. I'm not going to name any names, but I call him in my head, I call him Mr. Wacko or Mr. Insane, one of the two. And not a good way either because when he told you to study part A on a test, well, A wasn't on the test. It wasn't just a normal test. He had a table of bones and you had to know what the groove of the bone is. And it's like, what does this have to do with personal training? And it's like, I get it, you need to know the muscles, but a groove on a bone, really? And it's like, this sounds like some doctor stuff. And I was like, what does that have to do with personal training? I don't understand that. And so I asked him for help in his office hours. He gave me some help. But he's like, well, you should just know it. I'm sorry, I'm not Google. I can't program my brain just to know it. I would love to be able to do that. Then I just know everything. No, then I wouldn't even need school. And then if he tells you you need a box of, and then he told me to find a box of bones in the library, that didn't exist either. So I just withdrew from the class because I was failing. And then I found out that four other students along with me was failing. And it was a full class of 27 and it whittled its way down to 12. So I was like, well, that should have been the third red flag for me.
Yeah.
I was like, and of course, my advisor said, it's like, yeah, your teacher's not coming back next year. I was like, you're telling me he didn't win the best teacher of year award? Holy moly, I didn't know that. She laughed, of course. But then I jumped five different majors because I came in as personal training. Then I was like, well, maybe I should try web design. Mm-hmm. Well, if anybody knows coding, etc., well, one wrong move of a piece of code, you break everything. I hated it because my teacher, and finding a broken piece of code is not easy because it just highlights the line is on, but if you don't know why it's broke or how it's broke or how to fix it, you're going to be there for a long ass time. And my teacher, he literally takes off his glasses. He finds Waldo. Finding broken code is like finding Waldo and the Searching for Waldo books because I couldn't find it. I'm like, this is not for me. And I thought it was really cool, but I was like, that wasn't where the class where I changed my mind on with that. The class that changed my mind on web design was this one course where this one teacher told me I needed to multiply in my head. And this was in game design. I'm like, why do I need to multiply in my head? I have calculator on my computer. And it's like, well, as a developer, you need to. And it's like, none of my developer friends that I know has to do that. Like, yes, you do. And it's like, well, you technically can't make me because I'm bringing my own laptop. And it's like, unless if you can hack my own laptop, which that would be a violation of my privacy and against the law of hacking, I'm pretty sure you can't stop me. I mean, again, I didn't say any of this to the teacher. I eventually dropped that class because it was like, there's no way I can do multiplication in my head. She's like, well, you can use a pen and paper.
Yeah. So Jimmy,
same thing in my head.
With all of the, like, obviously this phase of yours, you were going through experimenting, learning different things, joining different majors and all of that. At which point did you decide that you wanted to start your own business?
Well, basically how I wanted to start my own business was after like the first year of college, I had my English professor who I really liked. And he told me the only way to become a better writer, you need to write every single day. And it sounded daunting to me. I was like, what could I possibly write every single day? And so then I decided I'm going to create a website. Well, the first mistake I've made there was that we're starting with WordPress because, and I'm not bashing WordPress, but I'm not a coder. I'm not a developer. I don't know how to get myself out of sticky situations. And
the custom.
Yeah. And it's too much customization. And it's like one plugin breaks another plugin. It was too stupid for me. And it's like, I don't understand stupid. I can't do it stupid. And I'm just not, I'm a very impatient person when it comes to technology because now that I run my whole business myself, I'm my own marketer, I'm my own boss, I'm my own writer, etc. I don't have time to troubleshoot stuff. I don't like troubleshooting. When I had all the time in the world, oh, I loved it because I can say, hey, I found this out, I figured this out, yeah. But it took me
you're
three
really
freaking weeks to do so.
When you're the business owner and runner.
Yeah. And so I moved to Squarespace. I've been there for 4 years now. Of course, I had some technical difficulties with them because of stuff breaking, but they helped me fix it. But it's just that support and like they do the technical stuff. And so like, fine by me. It's like, sure, it's more expensive, but at least it doesn't have to scale like some of the WordPress hosting companies. Like, but depending how many page views a month, you have to pay extra amount of dollars for this for each month. And it's like, really? I'm already paying $800 a year. And it's like, well, you have to pay more. You sound like a bunch of Grim Reaper warriors sucking the blood out of me.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's so many things, especially along the technical journey, that, is like unfair or like just so many different questions to things. But I was really curious for you, what was the main driving force or motivation for like wanting to do the things that you're doing now?
Well, because I switched my major from personal training, I finally made the decision to go into media studies. But before I changed my major, I had my very first interview from a friend of a friend who's like, "Oh, I'm looking for small business owners to interview." I was like, "Yeah, I'll do it." And so I liked being interviewed, and I still have the interview on my YouTube channel because even though it's hard to hear me because I didn't have a microphone at the time, and it was all done on Facebook, but she gave me the video because I wanted it to be like that, because like if I do any more of these somewhere down the line, I want proof to show people it's like I've gotten better. And it's like I mumbled on that video because I was so nervous because of my first interview. It's like, oh my Lord, and it's like every people are watching me all over the world. What can I? And I just feel daunted about it. And so I like being in front of the camera. And so I was like, can I do this for a living? And I was like, is there a way I can give speeches or somewhere? I was like, because I know I've heard of Tony Robbins. I heard of other motivational speakers. Like, well, how did they get started? And I'm not saying that they went to school for it, et cetera. Or maybe they did. I didn't like look in fully in their background at the time, but I've had heard of them. And so I was like, I like the site. And then some when I went to media studies, I found out that you can get a public speaking career degree. I was like, yeah, I'm game. And the cool part, so I decided I'm gonna go this route because I like talking a lot. And of course when you get me on like rants and whatnot, I don't know how to shut up. Even my own podcast, if somebody brings up a certain topic, I can go on a whole rant. I was like, I digress.
Yeah,
And
you're definitely super passionate, I guess, when you get into certain topics and areas.
I hope you're enjoying this conversation. Before we continue with this episode, I'd love to take a few moments to invite you to join my free resources course library. Inside, you'll get access to my guided meditations and practical tips to help you power through your day with more clarity, ease, and confidence. So if you're ready to raise your energy and create fulfilling success on your terms, just head over to journeytofulfillment.com. Okay, now let's get back to the episode.
Because I got into media studies, I knew I had to change what my website was going to be about. Because before, when I was in personal training, I was like, I'm going to have a bunch of exercise videos, et cetera. We don't need more exercise videos. And I was like, what I've learned about the personal training, fitness world so far, and I've seen it like in different programs on Beachbody On Demand, is that there's a lot of the same moves, but they just call it a different name. Or they might switch it up a slight bit to make a difference. But I was like, I don't need to do this. And I was like, if I'm going to have a health and wellness website, it's going to be health and wellness through my autistic eyes and share what works for me, what may work for someone else. I'm not an expert, but I'm just going off what works for me and what I've been doing. And so I was like, I'm going to make it inspirational because a lot of those health and wellness websites, they might have a post or two or three, maybe four about how to get started or how to be motivated. But it's not just geared towards that. They fit some exercise programs, best exercises out there. And then you name it, they have it. And so I'm like, well, how can I differentiate myself? So I was like, okay, I'm going to talk about health and wellness through my autistic eyes. I don't see that many people doing that. I see maybe a fistful of them, but I don't see billions of websites doing that.
So essentially, what is it all about being Crazy Fitness Guy? Like, what are the things that you really focus on, whether it's in the conversation or your ethos?
Basically, since my website came first, it focuses on autism, fitness, lifestyle, self-care, managing stress, nutrition, etc. And it was geared just for healthy living, but now it's geared towards people who are on and off the spectrum. So I mean, maybe it's someone who knows it on the spectrum, or their neighbors on the spectrum, or somebody in their family is on the spectrum. And it's geared towards just anybody who needs some motivation in their life. I know the last few days I need a lot more motivation because I've been doing some redesigns on my website. And it's not that I hate doing it, but there's one for doing it on 100 plus blog posts. It sucks because I'm doing the header, redoing the header images, and then I'm doing adding ads, and then I'm adding related posts to it. I'm down to like the last 10, and it's like, I'm never doing this ever again. I've only gone through all these posts like 8 times before, and I'm like, this is terrible. I was like, I don't ever want to do this again.
Because you mentioned before about how, you know, we don't need any more programs and all the different exercises. Now, it sounds to me like it's more content orientated. Is it more around that, or you do have the practical elements in there as well?
Well, it's content, but then I also offer, since I have a podcast and everything, I offer my podcast and I have a live stream that I do every week. Except for last week, because I was finishing up a paper that was due this past Tuesday, and I couldn't get everything together. I was like, I'm taking a pass this week. I was like, school comes first before everything else.
Yeah.
And because it's so gosh darn expensive, so is my business. But you know, time management first.
Balance that, like, for yourself, because you're at college and you also run, you know, business, and you're doing the live streams and all of this stuff. How do you, in your position, balance all of these different elements and still be able to move forward?
Well, how I do it, I use a lot of different blocking apps on my phone and my computers. I have two computers. One's a Chromebook that sits right next to me. But one of the things I use a time blocking software that gives me a certain point to access these sites. And then at a certain point, it says, you're done for the day. And it's like, oh, please, can I do one more? No, you're done. Bummer. And
yeah, so that's really helping you, I guess, set your boundaries with all of the activities.
Yeah. And then I also, so I have like two blockers on my computer. And then I have this to-do list with a Pomodoro timer. I do like 20, some days I do like just 20 minutes here, and then I take a 15-minute break. Today I didn't do that because I had class and I knew it was going to be kind of a short day, or short day-ish, because I had a class and then I got my haircut, because next week I'm going to my uncle's house for Christmas, and sometimes we take family pictures, and I was like, I'm not getting pictures with long hair. I mean, it wasn't super long, but it was blocking the microphone on top of my hearing aids. And it's like, I can't even, it's like, nope, this is annoying.
Well, it's a good haircut. Definitely super sharp and ready for Christmas.
Thank you.
Yeah. So in terms of everything, I mean, up until this point, you've pretty much smashed through all the limitations that society or the people around you have, you know, said to you or imposed on you. And now you're doing all the things that, I mean, that you enjoy at the moment. What are the key things that you want people to know who are like maybe in your position or potentially, you know, having certain naysayers or people imposing limitations on them as well? What are some key messages or like tips that you want to share based on what you've learned?
Well, basically I want to share is that just because someone labels you as autistic doesn't mean it's the end of the world. People, we need to stop labeling everything. I mean, it's one thing to label something in your drawer. That's fine. But we got to stop putting labels and limitations on people. Because maybe you can say, okay, they fall on the autism spectrum. They're not autistic. Yes, they fall on the autism spectrum, but don't label them. They say, yes, they fall on the autism spectrum. Here's what they may not be able to do. But don't just say, no, they're not going to be able to do this. You don't know that. Not everyone knows that. Experts don't even know that. All the experts who told me I won't be able to do that, they were all wrong. So much for experts.
So provide encouragement for the people who are in the support network. Really, that's what I'm hearing from you, is really just that encouragement to keep getting better every day.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What about for yourself? What are the things that you tell yourself when you encounter a challenge or a phase of like, oh, you know, like you're trying to get through something and it's getting hard? What do you tell yourself?
I tell myself it's only temporarily. It eventually will get better. Keep trying. When you give up, that's when that problem or that situation will stay with you. But as long as you don't give up, that's all that counts at the end of the day. There's some days where I feel like giving up on everything I do for Crazy Fitness Guy because maybe I'm losing traffic or it's taking me longer to do these tasks, or sometimes I feel like I have too many things on my to-do list. But then I have to look at, like, the last few days I've been dragging my feet on this annoying redesign project a little. I mean, it's not a whole like redesign of my pages, it's just my images. I'm giving us a nice border around the images because my mom taught me if you have an image on a white background, it gets lost. I'm not going to use the one behind me because that you, there's no way you can get the white loses behind, not on that one. But she's like, yeah, if it's a hue, if it's an image on a white wall, it gets lost in the background. And I didn't know exactly what she meant, but when I looked at my website just one day, just closely, it was like, it is kind of lost. I'm like, because my website has a white background and everything. It's like, that is too much white. And so I'm putting a black and gold border around it just to say, hey, here's the picture. And it's like, oh, now I see it. Now it stands out. There's a little bit extra color, just still my brand colors, but, and I'm not like using anything out of my brand colors, maybe a hint of gray on one of the templates, but it's like very, very smallish, but not so much that anyone could tell. And if they can, well, that's better than me, but I don't know my colors.
One thing that's super inspiring to me is when I talk to you, there is this sense of self-compassion. I think that's huge that you have for yourself, because you mentioned earlier about, you know, it's not always about the black and white. It's not always about the can'ts and the cans and all of that, but really just giving things a go and really continuing on, whether you want to give up or you want to, you know, like start again, or just like you're constantly moving yourself forward regardless of what you're facing. And you're trying new things, as evident through the different college majors and all of the things that you've tried out up until this point. And you're still constantly trying things out and playing with things. And that, like, that's what I really notice, is that there's a sense of self-compassion that you have for, like, you know, maybe I have a bad day, or maybe it's a bad moment or something, you know, it's a struggle now, but it's also, it's temporary and I'm going to get through it. And I think that is really huge for just for anyone who is going through a rough time or any personal challenges.
Exactly. And so literally there was like I was saying, like, yeah, because sometimes I feel like my website, there's some days I could just pack it all up. But then when I get all these comments on my website or from my podcast listeners, it's like, keep doing what you're doing. It's very helpful. I'm like, okay, now you're kind of making me sort of just to stay around. It's like, now you want me to stay around? Oh my goodness. And like all my friends are like, Jimmy, you work so gosh darn hard. And say, like, that's an understatement. And it's like, to do everything from marketing, writing, co-authoring stuff. And I go to school and it's like, how do I deal with this? I must be really, really crazy.
Or just passionate and determined.
Passionate and crazy.
Yeah. What would you like to see? Personally, you're working on all these things at the moment. There's a lot of change that's going on. Personally, for you, what do you want to see in the world more? Or, like, you know, what would you like? What kind of impact would you like to have with what you're building now?
Well, I would like to see more people accept people with autism and not just like, well, he has autism or they have autism or she has autism. It's the end of the world. We're going to just paint a bad picture. We need to cure this god-awful thing. And I'm just tired of reading some stuff in the news like that. It's like, this autistic person, he's incapable of doing this. And I'm tired of all those people who do bad stuff and saying, well, I'm autistic. And it's like, just because you did something bad, you're not autistic. And it's like, maybe we should get that person who did something bad a psychiatric exam, because it's like, no, and an autism exam is like, that's just an excuse that I think people use. Is like, please don't send me to jail because I'm autistic. And it's like,
they're making it worse in terms of, like, they're using that as their excuse that they can do those kind of things.
Yeah, and I feel like, I was like, you know how all these like other groups exist out in the world? Like, you got the LGBTQIA. That's a mouthful to say.
Oh, there's longer. I didn't realize there was more syllables.
Yeah, well, there's more syllables apparently. And then it's like, you have that community, and then you have all these other communities. I'm not going to list them all because there's too many.
Yeah.
But if they're fighting for what they believe in, etc. But why is it okay to pick on the autism community? Just because we don't have loud voices? Is that because of that? And sometimes I get annoyed at some of these groups who's like, oh, you know, we're just going to play this car. I mean, I'm not saying those groups in general or anything, but I mean, like, I just feel like some of these other groups get attention and they get what they want and whatnot. But the autism community still gets struggled and kind of get dragged along and kind of get forgotten about. And it's like, well, we still have to get through all these processes. And it's like, but these other communities, they don't have to go through a process, but we do. And it's like, we have to drag our feet on this. Like, for example, I give you, for accommodations in colleges, I have to fill out I have to write an email every single semester to my accommodations office and just to let them know I need accommodations for the following semester. In my opinion, and this is just my opinion alone, that's like asking me, are you still autistic? And I'm like, it's never going to change. It's not going to go away. I don't want it to ever go away. And it bugs me that, I mean, I have to type, just request them every single semester, because it's just a waste of time, because sometimes I don't even get it on time anyway. And even though I requested like a month and a half ago, and et cetera, and it just feels like, well, these other communities seem to get what they want by speaking loud and knowing what buttons to push. And I'm not like suggesting any of the autism community to push anybody's buttons, but it's like, we do it the polite way, apparently. And it's like, I use my voice. And like every time when I'm upset with a company on Twitter, I mean on social media, I tweet about it. And that company either ignores me, that shows them how that great that they are, or they respond to me and want to make it right. I mean, I don't say anything nasty. I just point out, I was like, well, here's what this problem is going. And then the 993 followers of mine will know. And I was like, hey, I like this guy. He actually speaks about company's truths, etc., or what's going on here. And it's like, I'm not going to be that quiet voice. And it's like, hey, let's go through every single thing slowly but surely.
Yeah.
We can, and maybe to a point, but yeah, we don't need to drag my feet on everything. We're too polite.
I believe that there is definitely a need for more unity rather than division, especially when it comes to communities. Probably there is that, you know, and you are leading in that space, is that people just be okay with speaking up as well. If you're not okay with something, use your voice. And I think that's really important, especially, you know, when you are being treated unfairly, or if you feel that, you know, something needs to change, then that is sort of one way that, you know, everyone can rise to the occasion to correct.
Yeah. And basically, to kind of sum up my point was, and of course I figured out a shorter version, is like, you know, I feel like people, I just feel like maybe, you know, I feel like just sometimes, like, you know how certain ways certain people are comfortable with doing something, and they, well, I'm trying to say that maybe certain people are more talk than action. I'm more of a person who is like, okay, let's talk about this, but then let's put it into action. And I get kind of frustrated where I was like, I feel like we can do more in the autistic community if we have somebody like me and a few other people like me, because it's like, well, we just talked about this for 1,000 hours or how many years. We still haven't put it in action yet.
Yeah.
You know, I probably could have talked a lot about, hey, I'm going to put a website together and keep talking about it, keep talking about it, keep talking about it, keep talking about it. It's never going to get done. And I was like, I can talk a good game too.
Yeah. It's definitely, it is everyone's involvement requires everyone to take the actions collectively, especially in your community as well, to really create change and really see change. Because otherwise, yeah, we can talk about all separation and all the different problems all the time and complain about and everything, but it's really until, you know, you put that talk into action where things actually can start to build momentum.
And I also want to clarify that when I mean action, I don't mean like violent action. I mean a positive action, like, hey, let's move forward on this idea, not just, hey, we got to get a bunch of 1,000+ people's votes on this and et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it's like, none of the other communities have to vote on something else. We just, somehow they magically get to the front of the line. We just do the polite way. Hey, we got to go. We got to wait until the X amount of houses, et cetera. Do the, it's too stupid for my brain to figure out. And like, so we have to wait on all those votes while everyone else gets to speak out their voices. And it's like, okay, we're magically putting you in front of the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, let's put the autism community all the way in the back of the line. That's fine. Mm-hmm. 6 million years later, still not corrected.
So, Jimmy, I'm really happy that, you know, we've been having this conversation and, you know, there is someone like you who is really, you know, taking the authority on and taking the responsibility to show people that there is a way and that things are possible and that change is possible. And I really commend you for everything that you have done so far on this journey and will continue to do to impact many more people in your community and in the wider world as well. So at this stage of your life, I want to ask you a couple of questions before we end. And that is, the first one is, at this stage of your life with what you know and everything that you've accomplished so far, what does fulfillment mean to you?
Well, I would say I think the future would hold quite a lot for me. This year, I co-authored a book with someone I met along the way on this incredible journey so far. And she actually helped me get my face in New York City Times Square. And I even have a picture hung up on my wall back in when I was in Pennsylvania. I didn't bring it with me, unfortunately, because I had to pack up everything for moving. I still have the picture on my phone, though. And so I accomplished a lot this year. I got 2,500 plus listeners. I mean, total plays on my podcast. I've been featured in 13 different publications around the web. One was the Autism Parenting Magazine. They gave me 2.5 pages in a magazine.
Wow.
I don't think I, compared to the other ones, and I'm not like tooting my own horn or anything, but like they gave me a free copy of the magazine. And I don't think anyone else got 2.5 pages. They gave me 2.5 pages. I'm not saying I'm special or anything, but maybe my story is longer. But I mean, like, as an editor, they had the rights to cut something out of it, but they chose not to.
Which, how did you feel that you had?
I felt really good. And it's like, yeah. Oh, I got a page, like 2.5 pages. Sweet. And it was like, I mean, it was just grazing over the second page, but I was like, still, I'll take it. And it's like, that's kind of nice. And I was joking with some of my friends. Like, they just used one of their pictures as on their cover. It's like, nah, if only they could put my picture on the front end of the magazine. And it's like, Jimmy, you're not that big yet. And it's like, you're not yet.
the key words. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's awesome. And last question is that, look, imagine that you have gone onto the front of the magazines. You have impacted the autism community in so many positive ways and even in become an inspiration to many people around the world. And you've accomplished everything that you wanted to. There comes to be a last day on earth for you. When that day comes, what would be the message or legacy that you would want to leave us with or send to everyone?
Well, I want people to remember me by autism is not the end of the world. It's not a disease. It's just a different way of life. And everyone's life is unique. Doesn't matter who you are, what you believe in, your religion, race, your gender. You know, I'm all for anything. You know, if you want to be someone else, be someone else. But I'm happy being autistic. There's some days more than others. I mean, like when it comes to learning something at a slower pace, because I'm just like, oh, I want to just learn this. Why is this not coming to me? It gets frustrating. But on other days, it's like, free flowing. But it fluctuates with my days depending on, well, did I get a good night's sleep? Or do I feel like I'm caught up on all my tasks and I don't feel like, wait, I'm behind, I'm this and that. And when I'm all that, I'm like, this sucks. And I try not to be grumpy, but sometimes when you get into that mood, it is, when you're in that mood, you kind of just stay in that mood. And I've been trying to work on it, on how to switch that mood up. It doesn't always work.
Yeah, and that's when it comes to the self-compassion back again, of like, sometimes we just have to acknowledge that, you know, like we're humans and that we have moments and we have feelings, and just to really, you know, lean into it, but then know that it's temporary and that we can always change the outcome as well and how we feel. So thank you so much, Jimmy, for this conversation. It's been really enlightening to find out more about you and your journey and all the wisdom and the insights as well. It's much appreciated.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. If you enjoyed it, be sure to subscribe so you're notified when a new episode is out. Also, rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends, because just one insight could change someone's life for better. Now go out there and make an impact, and I will catch you in the next episode.